Well, overreach is the new buzzword after yesterday's elections, as in did Republicans overreach. Ohio roundly rejecting Republican Governor John Kasich's move to curb union bargaining rights. Mississippi voters rejecting a move to declare life beginning at fertilization. Republicans did hold on to the governor's office in Mississippi. They won an initiative there requiring voter IDs. And Ohio voters also passed a ban on President Obama's health insurance mandate. But what happened in that vote in upstate New York seen as a referendum on gas drilling or that recall vote in Arizona? Joe Froelich is chief editorial writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer in Ohio, helping us take a look at yesterday's elections and start with your headline on the election results.
Very similar to the way you stated. We said Ohio, I'll tell you the Plain Dealer's lead headline today was Ohio voters soundly, as opposed to roundly, I think was the word you used, soundly reject issue two and blow to Kasich. Definitely, you know, we saw more a chastened John Kasich last night, which is sort of a different role for him.
And just to explain to us, what happened there? We know a lot of money was coming in. Koch brothers were backing this initiative.
The overwhelming amount of money which came in from the outside was labor money.
Labor, right.
The anti-issue two people, by better than 2-1, outspent the proponents of the issue.
And also were on the ground. I mean, I was hearing there was a lot of ground effort.
It was a big effort, and it was a very strong grassroots effort, beginning with the effort to gather the signatures to put it on the ballot. And that was a very important part of sort of the organizing. You know, so many places, when you have things go on the ballot, it's professional signature gatherers. In Ohio, for both this issue 2 and another issue 3, which you alluded to about the health care, this was people who were proponents who gathered the signatures and then kind of rolled that effort of the signature gatherers into the campaign. So they had sort of a ready-made campaign mechanism, if you will, going forward.
Well, and what do you think it all means, Joe? In Wisconsin, unions and Democrats failed to retake the state Senate through recalls after curbs on collective bargaining became law there. We all remember all the protests there, but it didn't work. Now they've won in Ohio. Now, Ohio's law went further than Wisconsin's. It limited the bargaining rights of firefighters and police. They, you know, might be said to support Republicans in some areas, and maybe they moved over. But what does it all mean? Is this something that's going to carry forward? I mean, what does it feel like on the ground in Ohio today?
Well, I think there's obviously great joy among the among labor and among Democratic activists, feeling that this sets them, at least they had a great dry run for the 2012 when obviously this will be a battleground state for the presidency. We've also got what will probably be a fairly hot Senate race. What they managed to do was, I think because of overreach, and that's a real key word, is the people in the middle, I think, you know, it's sort of like gut from talking to people, listening
right,
to them and stuff. Clearly, when you get this decisive a vote one way or another in Ohio, which is essentially a 50-50 state, the people in the middle overwhelmingly voted to reject what the legislature had passed and the governor signed.
But does that mean they'll also reject, for instance, talk about rewriting contracts for public employees? You write that that's a discussion that needs to be had. You know, how do you go forward? How do you keep pensions and benefits? How far do you think that's going to go?
Well, I think everybody's going to take a deep breath. Clearly, the governor and the legislative leaders, when they talked last night, weren't planning to call a special session today or tomorrow. It's something they're going to have to deal with, probably, and they're going to have to deal with it in a more open fashion, you know, involving Democratic legislators, even though they don't need the Democratic votes to pass something necessarily. The fact of the matter is, you know, local governments in Ohio are very stressed for resources. And they're going to probably have to make some changes in the way they operate.
But you're saying that whatever changes come can't be shoved down throats through legislation, that there's going to have to be compromise, but a transparent compromise in everybody involved.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I go back to the term overreach, and, you know, not to sort of over-romanticize the niceness of Midwesterners, but I think Ohioans were bothered by the way in which this was done, both at the legislative level and to some degree by the really, I thought, rather inept campaign that the pro side, the people who were trying to sustain the Senate Bill 5, the campaign they launched. I think it was just, you know, it rubbed people the wrong way. And I think it drove that 20% of kind of middle-of-the-road, independents, people who go back and forth, I think it drove them into the anti-camp.
Yeah. We, by the way, don't think you can over-romanticize the nicest of Midwesterners. We think it's there. We want to bring in our second guest, Alex Altman, Washington correspondent for Time magazine, who's been listening in. And Alex, Joe mentioned how we saw a chastened Governor Kasich. Last year, he was a fast rising star in the Republican Party. What do you think he symbolizes now?
Well, I mean, I think it's certainly right that Kasich appeared chastened after last night, and I think it does underline the dangers of overreach. I think, from a national perspective, it shows that turning cops and firefighters and unions into budget-busting boogeymen is going to be a difficult thing, and Democrats will frame this as a rejection of the Tea Party agenda and try to sort of use that to galvanize support going into 2012. And at least in some sense, they'll be partly right, and it gives Democrats who have been kind of hurting for good news lately, kind of a burst of positive energy as they look into the next year going into the presidential election.
And Alex, briefly, we talked about Republican overreach, perhaps. What about Tea Party anger? Is that dissipating? Incumbents won in the Kentucky governor's race. Also, most big city mayors in Philadelphia, Houston, Baltimore, incumbents won there. Is that throw the bums out anger dissipating?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, Kentucky is interesting because it's obviously a conservative state that's got a majority of registered Democrats, and Governor Beshear there, he was able to wage sort of a shrewd campaign that sort of steered towards the center and kind of away from wrapping his arms around President Obama. But I wouldn't say that you see any of the energy or the fervor of the Tea Party waning. I think you have a sort of a couple of issues where, as Joe put it, it was sort of clumsily handled in some respects by Governor Kasich in Ohio. And in Mississippi, I would say that the fact that they rejected personhood is a testament to the fact that social conservatives are losing any steam there.
And we're going to pick up there in a minute. That's Alex Altman of Time. We're also speaking with Joe Froelich of Ohio's Cleveland Plain Dealer. By the way, in Dryden, New York, town officials who supported a ban on gas drilling won re-election. That means that town is still going to pursue that ban on gas drilling. It's in the courts right now. Maine turned back an effort to end same-day voter registration. We'll take a deeper look at yesterday's election results in 1 minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our look at yesterday's election results. As we said, voters in Ohio turned back a move to restrict collective bargaining rights, but also passed Issue 3, a constitutional amendment some say was just a symbolic rejection of President Obama's mandate that everyone buy health insurance. In Mississippi, voters rejected a constitutional amendment designating life beginning at fertilization, opponents of that amendment getting across their point that in vitro fertilization clinics would become crime scenes if the law passed. With us, Alex Altman of Time, Joe Froelich of the Cleveland Plain Dealer in Ohio. And Joe, stay there on the ground in Ohio. Are people talking about social issues like abortion?
Yeah, and there were some efforts by some of the more conservative elements in the legislature to bring some more restrictions. This is something that the leadership, even in the Republican Party, again, is not particularly interested in. Ours was more of a heartbeat bill. Even sort of the established right-to-life groups were opposed to this because they felt it was almost as surely would be knocked down in the courts. And it was therefore a waste of resources. I go back, I think, in South Dakota, which is a state where pro-life positions always polled very well, but when you actually put it on the ballot for people to all but end abortions, people are very reluctant to make that step, especially when they get into the privacy of the ballot box.
Well, what about some of the other issues that go broader? And Alex, I want to bring you in on this. For instance, immigration, looking for places where voters might weigh in on that issue. And in Arizona, they approved a recall of the state senator who'd sponsored that tough immigration enforcement law. What do you make of that?
Russell Pierce, sort of an electrified figure in Arizona. I mean, he's a hero in some respects to proponents of the state's stiff new immigration law. He's a villain for others. And that was a recall election, a historic recall election, I believe the first in the state's history, that kind of showed the degree to which that has become a major wedge issue. But both immigration and I think abortion, these are issues that have been taken up in increasing numbers by state legislatures. But I think that still on a national level, as we get closer to 2012, the elections next year, in Congress and for the White House are still going to be decided by the economy. Voters are going to turn to the candidate who they believe is going to be the best person to help pull them out of the economic hole and the economic malaise that the U.S. has been flogging through. So while those are still major issues that get the Tea Party going, that get activists, progressives on the left going as well, I still think that in the end, the issues that will resonate most deeply with that 20% in the middle are going to be economic issues.
Well, it's interesting because Larry Sabato, the University of Virginia analyst, says in regards to that Ohio vote upholding unions' bargaining rights, if you don't have a job, you don't care about bargaining rights. Going forward, that's the concern. Although the Democratic Party chair there where you are, Joe, in Ohio, says, wait a minute, it animated the base. Whether or not you really are tied to bargaining rights, this animates people. So just going back to the Ohio vote, what do you think is going to happen? Is that enthusiasm going to carry over, or is it going to ultimately be just jobs?
I think ultimately, when you get to November of next year, it's jobs. But it also makes it a turnout election where both sides are going to really focus on trying to turn out their bases as much as they can. And you saw the ability yesterday, certainly, of Labor and the Democratic Party to turn its base out. The issue three, the health care one, is a little murkier because it was a very stealth thing. There was no advertising really pro or against it. It was very undercovered. And the ballot language on it was so almost vanilla, a constitutional amendment to guarantee Ohioans the freedom to make choices about their own health care, clearly targeted at the president's health care plan.
And overturning the mandate.
Right. But it wasn't just symbolic. And again, this goes to the weak coverage that a lot of us gave, that too many of the news organizations gave it, because by putting it in the Ohio Constitution, it, for instance, forbids, and its sponsors would tell you, forbids a Romney care option in Ohio. It potentially has lots of impact on all kinds of public health issues that the state has a hand in. But everybody, I think, tended to write it off as, well, it's kind of symbolic.
Well, put us in that category. So you're saying that this vote in Ohio, again, banning a mandate that will require people to buy insurance. You mentioned Romney Care. We have that mandate here in Massachusetts. It was instituted when he was governor, and then it's in the new President Obama health care plan. You're saying that you think this is, what, going to have some impact?
Right. And even beyond mandates, it raises all kinds of questions and certainly probably will raise all kinds of litigation about what the state can do in issues of public health. There were questions about whether college-aged children, usually you have to buy them insurance, or they were put on the university's health care plan when they go off to school. There's questions about whether that can continue. This kind of almost vaguely worded and not very scrutinized by the media or by either party, really, beyond the headline, this is now part of our Constitution in Ohio.
Well, but as we saw just this week, when it goes to courts, who knows what will happen. And this week, Democrats had a victory when an appeals court and a very conservative judge upheld a ruling in favor of requiring Americans to buy health insurance. So the proposal that was just passed in Ohio may be on its way to the courts as well.
I think it will be, and it, like I say, it may not have anything to do with a mandate, Obamacare, a Romney care, or whatever when it actually ends up in court on this.
That's Joe Froelich, chief editorial writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer in Ohio. Alex Altman, Washington correspondent for Time Magazine. Alex, just nationwide, are people's juices stirring? What's your sense of what's happening?
In general, off-year elections tend to be sort of sleepy affairs. In Virginia, there were some critical races, both in the state's House of Delegates as well as the state Senate, and turnout has been very low, as it has been in off-year elections each of the last couple of cycles. And I think that, what you see then can be a little bit distorting in terms of where the national mood is, because it tends to turn out sort of the two poles of the electorate, progressive activists, and you get more right-wing, Tea Party-infused activists who are sort of duking it out, and the people in the center who tend to decide most close and closely fought elections wind up staying home. So it's going to be interesting. Right now, I think it's important not to read too much into the results that have been going on across the country yesterday. But at the same time, certainly in Ohio and Mississippi, these are major victories.
Hey, Alex makes a good point about turnout. By off-year standards, yesterday was a pretty high turnout, a little under 3.5 million voters probably going to be the final figure. But you go in 2008, the presidential race, almost 6 million voters turned out. So there's a lot of people who vote in the state who didn't come out yesterday for all the hoopla.
I know, but still, it was half a presidential election.
Yeah.
Joe Froelich and, again, Alex Altman, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
And your thoughts? Democrats are hoping to take momentum from the union win in Ohio to begin a recall of Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin, where he restricted bargaining there, of course. What do you want to hear? And what do you want to hear from the presidential candidates? They debate tonight. Go to hereandnow.org. Love your thoughts. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Philips Healthcare, dedicated to improving access, managing costs, and helping clinicians improve care globally at philips.com/healthcare. And the Institute of Contemporary Art, Boston, presenting Dance Draw, an exploration of art and performance on view now, icaboston.org.